Welcome everyone to the HB Global Employee Ownership Podcast Series. Today we have a great conversation about leadership development and also about alignment with mission and core values throughout the organization and the consistency in that. Today we have with us Matt Chubb, Vice President of Operations at BBEC. As always, we have Bob Whalen, CEO of HB Global, and Stacey Baum, Senior Vice President of People and Culture. Just a couple housekeeping items. We recognize that this podcast is available to the general public, but we just want to say that the views expressed in it are in the context of HB Global and may not apply to broader audiences. With that, Stacey, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. Matt, welcome. Happy to have you here today.
It's great to be here.
Can you start off just sharing a little bit about your life, work life before HB Global?
Sure. So, say about a week after I graduated high school, I started out at a company that manufactures and installs newspaper printing presses. Worked there in the machine shop, taking maintenance on the machines and working on those. And then eventually, within about a year, worked into the electrical department and then started traveling around the world and the country, installing the presses and servicing them. Did that for about 9 years as a technician, and then moved into the office as a project manager. And the last 9 years that I was there was the director of operations. So there was a lot of experience gained there, traveling around, getting to meet a lot of different managers, leadership styles, different cultures around the world, and it was really exciting.
It's very interesting. I'm sure you got to meet a lot of people and got to start working on your employee leadership skills.
Yeah, it's interesting to work with different cultures around the world. You know, we formed teams that came from all over, you know, and bringing them together, working with everything from different ethnicities to different languages, barriers that we were getting over, age gaps, experience levels, all that stuff. And forming a team out of that and having a product to deliver to a customer was really rewarding.
So when you decided to start looking for a new organization to join following that experience, what interested you most in HB McClure? Because that's where you originally joined the company, right?
Yeah, I joined HB McClure in 2017. Okay. What I found there was their mission, vision, and core values really spoke a lot to my personal values. The engagement that they had with their employees, you could feel through the interview process, you could really feel that they cared about their employees. They were about growth mindset as well, as we all know. That kind of stuff really resonated with me. Seeing an opportunity to learn more about a new trade, completely different from the printing industry. So that was a challenge in itself for me. But you know, going from there, seeing the opportunity for growth, the culture, the way the team interacted with each other, it really attracted me.
So Matt, when you were first joining HB McClure, I think Bob was still located at the HB McClure office. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, you were just starting to put together the global team. You're still working out of the office there. The transition was really beginning.
Yep. 2017 is when we made our second really big acquisition, which was Nash P&M. So that was really when HB Global got started.
Okay. And then as part of a new acquisition and forming HB Global, Bob, can you talk a little bit about how you incorporated mission, vision, and core values into recruiting new talent like Matt into the organization?
Yeah. It's really great for me to hear, that was an important part of the process for Matt, because we as an organization were very intentional about incorporating the mission, the vision, the core values in our selection process. Because ideally, we want to attract employees that are highly aligned with that, you know, from the very start. We certainly are willing and able to do education to try to bring people along that are aligned with us. But if we're starting off with employees, you know, that are aligned, that is certainly a better spot, you know, for us. And this is really, you know, something that, came from very early in my career. I worked for a company here in Mechanicsburg in the healthcare industry, Continental Medical Systems, and we incorporated you know, our core values into the selection process. It was part of what we did. And, you know, fast forward here, you know, 30 years later, John Sage is on our board of directors. That's with a successor company of Continental Medical. You know, so these things have really been an integral part of my career. And I think that, you know, I can give credit there with, you know, that company and those experiences with getting me to understand how important, you know, it really was to have this alignment, you know, with your mission, vision, and core values, and everybody kind of running in the same direction and doing that.
That's great. So as part of the process, Matt, of joining the organization, coming from a completely different industry, we know you're well aligned with the core values. What were some of the challenges and struggles joining a new industry and a new company? And
well, the biggest challenge I would say is learning the trade. Coming into the organization, mechanical, I didn't know much about that. That was a big challenge for me, but you know, overcoming that, earning the team's respect, I think, coming into the organization also was a challenge that, you know, not knowing the industry and all of your peers have walked a journey in the trade already and have a ton of experience. But, you know, it felt like once I've earned that respect, there's a lot of great folks at HB McClure that really helped me along, took me under their wing and taught me the trade. And, you know, as I came up through that, that was important, you know, and seeing that. And I could name a few folks over there, but I'd feel bad. I'd be afraid of leaving a few out. But, you know, really everybody was really open-minded and helped out a lot once I earned that respect, I feel.
And part of your journey, Matt, you were in our first class for the PAVE program, right?
Yeah.
What interested you in being part of that first class for PAVE?
So the biggest thing that interested me about it was coming from where I was, you know, to be honest, I joke about it now, but I think looking back, it truly was, you know, we talk about the 90s style manager's mentality, you know, where, you know, we don't have collaboration, we don't have that engagement, and, you know, it's a boss versus leadership type mentality. So I feel like I was learning managerial skills, but PAVE, I feel, really helped me polish my leadership skills. It gives me a lot of skills to work with our teams, build that collaboration, build the engagement, enhancing our culture and all that stuff. It was very helpful. It's what intrigued me about it, for sure.
Bob, do you want to comment on PAVE from your perspective of just the impact that it's had on the organization and leaders like Matt?
Well, you know, I can say pretty truthfully that PAVE is one of my babies. Mm-hmm. Not so much from the specific curriculum that we use in PAVE, just that we put a lot of effort into leadership development. I think leadership development is incredibly important. I feel like it helps us a ton in professionally in what we do here every day. But I can't tell you how many people have gone through the program and we do the graduation at the end. And I've been, you know, at the graduations at the end, how much they and their spouses talk about how much it helps them in their personal life. You know, when we talk about developing here personally and professionally, you know, I'm so proud of PAVE, and that unsolicited feedback that's come back over and over again from those programs, you know, about what we're doing. And I think it's really an important component of what we're trying to do as a business to recognize. And, you know, this is language that I'm going to start to talk a lot about next year, is the and. You know, we talked about, you know, Matt not having the technical expertise, but I think it's important to recognize there's a whole bunch of other expertises that are really necessary for us to perform the best we can as a team. Some of that is technical. Some of it is leadership and managerial skills. You know, some of it is, you know, just tying all that together and, you know, bringing the best of the company forward. And to have a great team, we need people with different skill sets. I'm certainly not ever going to be the technical resource, you know, of the company. But, you know, we were able to bring some other things to the table, whether it be how we price our product or being able to do acquisitions that we wouldn't have been able to do, you know, without some of our team members, that I think is really critical. And I think it's important for all of us, you know, to have respect for folks that have different skill sets in our organization, because I think that makes us the best team we can possibly be.
Great. So Matt, along your journey here with the organization, an opportunity presented itself for you to change from HB McClure to BBEC. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that process of how you felt during the transition and making the decision of whether to remain at HB McClure or transition to BBEC? And I'll also just end with, it is interesting the way opportunities present themselves, because you joined the company in 2017, mm-hmm. and BBEC was acquired in 2017. So, mm-hmm. you know, at that time, there wasn't a path or a concept that you were going to be eventually working as a leader at BBEC.
It's funny how things work out, for sure. It was a challenge getting over leaving HB McClure, to be honest with you. I'm a very loyal person at heart. There were some folks that took a chance on bringing me on board. And that was a challenge, you know, walking away from that. But, you know, at the end of the day, one of the leaders at HB McClure pointed out that you're not leaving the organization. You know, you're still a part of the larger organization. And through some of that, those conversations helped me with that transition. And then coming over to BBEC, the team there is a very tenured team, a lot of great skill knowledge, and they do really well with, you know, they're very quality focused, they're very safety focused, and they were in a transition as well, where their leadership was looking to retire. This would create the position that was open for me to me to come over. The transition they were in was, you know, they were used to leaders really just telling them, here's the next steps, you know, boss versus leadership. Mm-hmm. So that was a bit of a challenge to overcome as well, because I'm a firm believer in, you know, giving people autonomy, giving them that employee genius that they can exercise as well, and collaboration as a team. So we worked through a lot of that, and, you know, the challenge was there, but it's a great fit now, and really enjoying the opportunity for sure.
Stacy, maybe I can just add a little, because this is really a story of lore within our company, to emphasize the environment at BBEC when we got there. So very typical of us to have an all employee meeting after the acquisition, you know, when the acquisition is done. And so we went to, you know, we had a, you know, location here. The town brought all the employees in. They didn't even know they were acquired, came to the meeting. And
they were previously in ESOP.
And, you know, really important part of our company, too, because now through having BBEC, they were formed in the year 2000 for their ESOP. So we have employees that have now been in an ESOP for 24 years, and we can point to the value creation that's done over that time and all of that. But anyway, we were, you know, announcing the acquisition to their employees, and I have my, you know, typical presentation that I do for the new employees and getting in. And it, as I've learned, is pretty typical of BBEC. They're say what they think. And so we're in this presentation. I'm not hardly into the presentation at all. And all of a sudden, they are like all over us about, did this acquisition without talking to us. And, you know, we had no input in any of this. And so the only time ever, you know, I basically threw the presentation away and basically, you know, addressed the situation on the ground, some of which we couldn't fix, you know, so we couldn't communicate that the acquisition or talk to the employees about whether they should do this acquisition or any of that, but we could just go from where we are and what we're about and what we tried to do. And we have tried from that day forward, you know, to really incorporate BBEC, you know, into our company as an integral part of what we do. And we could not be more proud of what that business, it was done. And, just to being at the annual meeting this year and seeing the change that's occurred, you know, over the 7 years that they've been involved. And we've had a lot of those tenured employees over that period of time now start to retire that were the original, you know, owners in 2000. It really is a key part of the discussion that we have with all of our businesses about what this can mean for employees that spend their career with us. Because now we have employees that have 24 years of accumulating value in what we've done. And so it's really been a great part of our company. But that first meeting, I can tell you, is one of the more interesting presentations that I've made, you know, in my years here at HP Global.
It makes it easy when you have a very sound understanding of what the company brings and to the employees and can articulate that in the communication. So I think that's something Matt has done really well over his 3 years at BBC, is bringing those employees along and working with them where they are and helping them understand the value of being part of the organization and helping them through the change. You mentioned the leadership was in a transition program when you showed up on site 3 years ago. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you found most rewarding at BBC over the last 3 years?
Yeah, I think looking back and reflecting on the journey there, I think seeing some of the team members grow, you know, that was a big thing for me. I like to see, as you mentioned, you know, personally and professionally, see folks grow. And you know, looking back, there's been a lot of growth. You know, I've seen some younger folks jump into some situations that, you know, they may not quite have been ready for, and, you know, prospered in it at the end of the day. And it's exciting to see that, you know, giving folks that, A, the opportunity, but being there to support them through it as well. And it's been rewarding to see that.
Matt, you've also been very interactive with peer groups and cross collaboration within the organization. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts there on how that's helped you and BBC grow over the last few years?
I think one of the things I took away from PAVE, I would say, people ask me all the time, what was the biggest takeaway? And of course, it's hard to pick just one. But, you know, if I were to say one thing, it's the mindset of, you know, opening up your vest and saying, I don't know, or I need help, or can you help me understand this? You know, and we are better as a team. You know, it's not just a core value, but the reality is, you know, there's been other folks that have taken a journey and figured things out. And that collaboration is important. You know, it's not just feeding off of the others, being able to help others as well. You know, the servant leadership part.
Bob, any additional thoughts you have on watching an employee over a 7-year period evolve throughout the organization? And I'll say, from my perspective, Matt has taken advantage of so many good opportunities here. And even in the language of taking advantage, I think the point is really that we have opportunities and we have programs in place and we have really talented team members that are willing to be mentors and help others grow along the way. And I think it's about that drive in the individual and also what we provide as an organization.
Yeah. One of the things that I think, you know, Matt exudes that I think is really important in somebody coming into a new position is just humility. And the piece of advice I give to all new leaders in HP Global is, you know, not to be in a rush to make big radical changes in what's going on. Really the first step is to go in and sit and listen and learn, you know, from the situation you're in. Trust takes time to develop. It doesn't just happen overnight, and it doesn't come from title. You know, trust is earned, and the way to do that with people is to take your time and, you know, really pick something out that's low-hanging fruit. You know, but take your time to get there and have low hanging fruit. And I have the things that I did that. But as I watched, you know, Matt at HP McClure when he was first coming in, he was just so, you know, his EQ was so high relative to doing that. He knew he wasn't a technical expert, you know, so he listened, he learned, he deferred to people that maybe reported to him you know, in the organization, but he knew had much more technical expertise in the situation. And I just think it's so important, and we're all in such a rush, and our society just reinforces that all the time. I mean, we're firing coaches after 1 year, you know, in the position. I mean, how the heck, you know, can you, you know, get to turn around an organization in 1 year? But I just think, you know, it's counterintuitive, but the best way to get the most done in the fastest way is to at first take your time. Build that trust. Find that low-hanging fruit that you can make a change that's going to improve. You know, mine at HB was, McClure, was we changed the pricing of how we did off-season residential replacement units. But then it worked. And then we tackled the second one, and then the third one, and the fourth one, you know, and I didn't screw up the first couple. So I built trust, you know, along the way. But if you get into a situation where you erode trust early on in a relationship, very, very difficult, you know, to recover. So take your time, build that trust, and people will see, you know, that you have the best intention of the organization. That it's not about you, that it's about the team and what you're doing. And, you know, that's one of the things, you know, I've seen from Matt and the start. And I think sometimes, frankly, it's easier for us, for those of us that don't have that technical expertise, to get that piece of it right, because we have to. You know, like if we screw that up, we got no hope. But I think it's hard sometimes for people that have a lot of experience not to come in. And, you know, people don't realize it, but when you're saying things like, we did it this way at our old organization, it's true. It can be very valuable, but it's not received very well. And so what good does it do you in the organization to kind of use it? And believe me, I have done that. You know, there was in the first 15 years of my career, I had gone to organizations where I was basically doing the same thing I was before. We did it this way. And it was true. And it would have been good for the organization, you know, but it just doesn't show good EQ relative to building trust to your teammates and recognizing, you know, the things that they do well. So you can get there, you know, eventually. How you get there matters, you know, just like how you, you know, bring up deficiencies in our organization to people. It matters how you do it. And so, you know, I think that humility that you show is really important. And I actually think it's easier when you don't have the technical expertise, you know, to bring to the table.
I also think, Matt, it's, I'd love to hear from your perspective how easy that was naturally for you. So, you know, Bob talks about humility, and I also know you and I've talked before about patience. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you're definitely an employee and leader that wants to get things done.
Yeah.
So how easy was it or hard was it for you to have patience in actually implementing change and new process and bring the team along?
Yeah, that's interesting. Hard. It was hard. Very hard. Yeah, to have that patience. I think most of the leaders I talked to expressed that. Bree and I talked about it, I think, at least a dozen times. Bob, we've talked about it a couple of times too. But you're right. It is very important. You come in and day one, you just want to drive. Yeah. You want to have impact. You want to show value to your team members and how you can help. And you're all anxious about it. And, you know, that can be off-putting, I know. So, you know, taking that step back and just helping where you think you can help, you know, and speaking to BBC coming in there, you know, they're very, very good at their skills. They know how to build buildings. They know how to put the product together for sure. So, you know, my help was, you know, if there's a difficult conversation with a customer or a vendor's not performing, you know, I tried to help out in those areas and then to sit back and see where we could possibly apply some efficiencies and stuff like that. And taking the slow approach is the best approach, it really is, and earning that trust and respect. So,
yeah. And Matt used the language, you know, specifically that I talk to leaders about all the time is don't feel like you need to add value right away. Just be patient, you know, take your time. And it's hard. And I probably didn't say that, you know, directly to Matt. It's just something that comes more naturally to him and how he approaches problems. But I just think it's really critical. You know, there are turnaround situations where you got to act fast and you got to do things and, you know, you don't have the luxury of time to do that, you know, but almost all of our situations are not turnaround situations.
Right.
They're making, you know, what we are today a little bit better each day. And in those situations, you can take your time. Make sure you build the trust. Because again, if you lose that trust, it is so much harder, you know, but it does take time to build. People just, they don't, you know, I got a title of CEO and they don't just trust me because I have that title. You know, it's something that, you know, they have to acquire, you know, over time. In fact, you know, in lots of cases, you start out with a trust detriment because you have the title of CEO. So, you know, all of those things. And that's just something you learn, you know, with time. You know, I hate to say it, I'm getting old now. I've been, you know, doing some of these things for a while. It's one of those experiential things you get, and you get a feel for it, and you know when you can do it. And believe me, we've all screwed it up, you know, and I will screw it up again. You know, there will be times where I think I have built the trust that I can do it, and I hadn't. You know, but you learn from it, you grow, you try to do it better next time, you know, and hope you didn't, you know, make a mistake that's going to cost you forever.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to own it too when you do make that mistake, and you know, working through it with the team and that open, honest collaboration again, you know, that helps overcome that. But you're right. Sometimes it's tough to get back once you lose it.
Matt, as we wrap up our discussion for today, is there something that you're really excited about or looking forward to for the future?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see where the organization, you know, we're full of potential. It really is, you know, and it feels like every day, every meeting I come out of, at times there's another opportunity, you know, whether it's an efficiency gain or a training for the team or something like that. It's really exciting to, you know, we are a really good organization here, and it's just exciting to see how great it's going to be. You know, it's exciting.
Any other closing thoughts, Bob?
Well, I just, you know, Matt is just one example of many we have in the organization, of really strong leaders that are highly aligned, you know, with our mission, vision, and core values. And I think that all starts with selections, you know, selecting people that are aligned with them, but keeping the mission, vision, and core values, you know, front of mind in what we're trying to do, and be really disciplined. You know, I think, you know, Matt said so many things, you know, that were profound today, but maybe, you know, the one that, you know, I'm going to keep on, you know, sometimes you just have to admit you are wrong, you know, be willing to publicly admit you made a mistake and move on. And that's something that all of us can learn from, because we will all make mistakes.
Yes,
I will. Every single other 2001 of our employees is going to make a mistake, and we get ourselves in trouble, you know, when we try to, you know, hide that mistake. Best to come forward, admit the mistake, learn from it, grow. And I just think that that was, you know, such an important lesson Matt highlighted today that we can all learn and grow from.
Thank you, Bob. Good ending comment. Thank you, Matt. It was great to have you here today.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today on the podcast. Hope you learned and heard something interesting today, and we'll see you next time.
If you have questions for Bob, we'd love to hear them and answer them in future podcasts. Feel free to submit them to eopodcast@hb-global.com.